The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys broadcaster, former Dallas Cowboys player himself. It is Babe Laufenberg. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so we waived Ryan Flannoy. That feels like the biggest news of the day, right?
I guess today, huh?
Yeah. I have to admit, just, and I know we're going to get into all the Micah stuff, but, and I know Flannoy could come back, but that felt like kind of a surprising move, did it not?
Well, as you guys know, there are so many moving parts with that 53 and the practice squad and all that, that, you know, sometimes you move guys or you have to put guys, you know, on waivers that you don't want to do. But again, there are moving parts on that. On that 53, you know, you got guys who aren't going to be healthy. You got to put them on the 53 if they're coming back within a couple, 3 weeks, and on. But I do like Ryan Flannoy, and it'll be interesting to see if he does not get picked up by someone as well. I could see a team looking at the performance that he had in the preseason, albeit he didn't get a lot of balls caught, but that wasn't his fault. Joe Milton wasn't real accurate with him. But we'll see what happens if they can bring him back to the practice.
Babe, the conversation that Jerry had last night frequently turned to, we got to stop the run. We got to stop the run.
It's not a conversation. It's called a soliloquy.
There you go. and that was a very good monologue last night. For the last couple of years, I've noticed that teams did run at Micah, and they were successful doing that. Is that going to change now that he's not on the team, though? Or are they going to find somebody else that they can run at, or do you feel confident that they can be better at it now?
Well, you're always going to look for somebody who you can run the football on, right? Or throw the ball on. I mean, that's what coaches do during the week, right?
Yeah,
you find a weakness. And I don't know that it was so much a weakness of Micah as much as if you run away from some of those guys, like a Micah, they'll just track you down. You know, many times you see you don't block the end man on the line because he's not going to be able to get to the other side. Well, Micah can get to the other side. He'll chase that ball carrier down, as we've seen. But, you know, it's really disappointing, the whole deal. And not so much, you know, I'm not a Micah fan in terms of, oh, how could they do that to Micah? But
right.
To me, they're just no winners in this thing. You know, Micah didn't look good lying on the table. That's the last impression, you know, a lot of people are going to have them of him, is that last preseason game he's lying down. And I've never seen that in my 40 years of either playing or covering the NFL.
That's,
and the organization doesn't look good. Nobody is looking what the Cowboys did and saying, gosh, you know what? We need to handle our players that way. We always say it's a copycat league, right, in many, many ways. But I don't think anybody is looking what happened here between the Cowboys organization and Micah and saying, gosh, maybe we need to do it like that.
So, what, I guess, since you said, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any winners here, what would you say to the Cowboys fans who, look,
well, let me take that back. What was the number for Micah?
47 per year.
So there is a winner,
him,
I guess.
And Mulligetta, him and Mulligetta are winners, absolutely. What would you say to the Cowboys fans going into the season? Because not to be lost in all this, 6 days away from kickoff, what do you say to the Cowboys fans who are like, hey, I don't care about future draft picks and cap space and everything like that. I'm ready for this season. Like, what would be your message to them? Because it's a tough day when you lose a player that good.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't have a message for them, but what we do know is the Cowboys aren't as good today as they were 2 days ago, right? I mean, it's not as good a football team. Now, I don't know where you have that ranked or rated or whatever you want to call it when Micah was here, and if we assume that he was going to get a contract to play, I don't know where you put him in the hierarchy of the NFL, but wherever they were, they're down a couple of notches today.
The leadership in that locker room, we know Dak is the leader, and we've been asking this question. We kind of had a long conversation about it. And we kind of came up with a couple names. But on that defensive side of the ball, who do they look to now?
That's a good question. But as you guys know, you know, when there is a vacuum of leadership, and I don't know if Michael was necessarily a leader.
Mm-hmm.
People have the misnomer that just because you're a great player, you're a leader.
Right,
in any sport, right? And that's not always the case. And as a matter of fact, it was almost a lack of leadership. You can't come in here, and I'm not. This is not throw dirt on Micah. I'm not trying to do that. I said it before. You can't say I'm a leader and then not show up for spring when you've got a new defensive coordinator. You just can't. I'll give you an example of leadership. Sean Lee, when he was playing, he had a place in Santa Barbara. You guys know where Santa Barbara is, right? 30 minutes from Oxnard. He flew back to Dallas so that he could be on the team plane just to fly back to basically where he was. Because he wanted to be a part of, he didn't have to be on the plane, he could have just showed up at Oxnard. He wanted to be a part of that team. And so he flew back, you know, commercially to Dallas so that he could be on the team plane when it left for training camp in Oxnard. That's leadership.
Man.
Yeah, I feel like there are some other guys in that room that are waiting for, that are ready for that. I think so. We'll find it throughout the season.
As you guys know, there's a vacuum in any business, anything. Somebody leaves, somebody fills that void. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't. But somebody's going to fill that void defensively. Somebody step up and say, okay, I got to take charge here.
And I know a lot of times you want to focus on the actual game itself. In advance, have you given up on focusing on the actual game in week 4 against Green Bay, knowing that nobody is going to talk about the X's and O's of it all, and it's all going to be about Micah versus the Cowboys?
You know, I am looking at NBC, right? They're doing that game. They're doing the Philly game. Could they get any luckier? I mean, you've got Cowboys-Philly.
Oh, my gosh.
The Cowboys-Philly Thursday night, as we know, only game in town. It's going to be the highest-rated game of the season, is my prediction. And number two is going to be Micah coming back to Dallas with Green Bay. Here's the thing, too. If I were a tackle, you know how guys used to get sick? If they had the flu. They called it the Nolan Ryan flu.
Yeah.
When Nolan was pitching that day.
Yes,
you know, hey, Skip, I don't know what I got, but I got something. I'm going to sit this one out. I don't know who the tackles will be for the Cowboys. You know, we know we have Steele on the right side. We'll see if it's a... you know, Guyton on the left side or whoever it is, but that's when I'd go in that week and say, hey, coach, I don't know what I got, but I'm not feeling so good.
No, don't say that. But it does.
Hold it. Wouldn't you?
Probably.
No,
don't want to put bad tape out there, Kevin.
You're right, and I definitely get it. I am preemptively dreading every single time Micah makes a play at any point throughout the season, there's going to be all these things on social media calling the Cowboys stupid. Like, even if he has one sack for the season, that sack is going to be plastered across social media.
The most important sack in history.
And be like, the Cowboys are so stupid.
What if game one, week one, and as we know, Philly has the best offensive line in football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. What if the Cowboys come out of week one, they don't get a sack, and Micah's got 4 in his debut for Green Bay?
He has a Charles Haley against Pittsburgh moment. Yeah.
Any segment we attempt to have that's not about that will be shouted down by our listeners. We're like, hey, amazing news is the Rangers have continued to win, and people are going to be like, boo,
no,
shut up. I want to talk about how dumb the Cowboys are. So, you're probably right about that. I know you are on your way to the Star. I know there's things.
He's actually at the Star.
Oh, you already made it? Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Can I tell you something?
Yeah,
I do not,
please.
I want to show, every show I ever do, I want to show respect. So I don't want to be that guy in the car where the phone's cutting out. So I got up here early so I can join you boys.
See, and I know he had practice to work with today, so we really appreciate him fitting us in.
Yeah, thank you very, very much on what has been a busy, busy day. We appreciate it. And again, only 6 days away from hearing you on the call with Brad Sham right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend of football.
There you go. Babe Laufenberg right here on 105.3 The Fan.
That's getting lost in this mix for sure. And I know at some point we might talk about it, but it definitely is getting lost that college football weekend is here.
And you could make a really, really strong argument this is the biggest week one in the history of college football. Don't forget last week
because of the Micah trade,
week zero. Not because of the Micah trade.
Oh, because of the Texas and Ohio State
I mean,
game.
That is part of it, but because the Tennessee game of the top – I don't know – Look, I'm sorry, RJ. I don't know if Syracuse versus Tennessee is what's moving the needle this weekend. Six of the top 10 teams in the country are playing each other.
Right.
So, yes, this is one of the biggest college football weekends ever. Now, real quick, I was going to throw this out there at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to run through a few more of these Cowboys and Micah questions that matter, if
that's okay with you. I was prepared to talk about Micah all day today.
Okay, well, you know what? Maybe there are questions about that. Do you believe that Jerry Jones knows Micah's name isn't Michael?
I do.
Okay.
Because Steven corrected him last night in the middle of the press conference at one point. I don't know why he does it. Earlier, Cynthia Freeland, she was like, I love the shade. And I was like, oh, do you think he's doing it on purpose? And I think Kevin, he calls Will McClay Will K sometimes. You know, like there are times that he just gets names wrong. And I don't know if it's because he's like, I am showing you that I'm in a power position.
Right.
Or if he's just like, look, man, names are a thing. I'm worried about numbers. And those numbers just keep stacking up. So maybe that's the case, but I think he does now. But will he remember it today or tomorrow? I don't know.
A lot of people have used this phrase today, and honestly yesterday. Is Micah Parsons a generational player?
This is a great question.
Thank you.
I saw Tony Casillas.
Yes, because Tony Casillas is one of the people who are like, you traded away a generational player to stop the run. I respect the hell out of Tony Casillas. I just might not interpret this trade the same as him.
And that
I guess.
Really does come down to how you define a generational player versus a Hall of Famer. Is that the difference there? I think he's going to have all of the statistics to be a Hall of Famer. He might even be with the right team to compete for a title. Like maybe he doesn't stick around. Maybe he gets moved somewhere else and wins the title somewhere else. And all of those accolades turn into, man, he was a absolute Hall of Famer. But I think the standard that I have for generational player, I put Myles Garrett in that generational type. I don't see many like Myles Garrett. I put Patrick Mahomes in the generational type. You don't see many like that. There are very few, and that's the conversation. We throw that word around pretty liberally.
I agree.
Good gosh, you know what I mean?
All right, politics.
We throw that word around a lot. I mean, I do think that Luka is. But I think that he still has things to do before he can do it. Micah still has the chance to become, like, if his numbers stay the way they are for the rest of his career, yes, we'll look back and go generational talent. But I think, like, we're watching a guy who was very good at pass rush and very ineffective in the run game. And I think there are other players out there that can do both, and those are better talents in that respect. So I just don't think that he's generational, but he could prove me wrong still.
Okay. Now, next one. Can Dante Fowler, Sam Williams, Donovan Ezeraku, Marshawn Neal, and James Houston construct a competent season-long pass rush?
They said they can scheme up pressure.
You can. I agree certain extent
and I
with
think
that.
I think what you're saying by that, you have to get home with four. Like that's a simple fact. You got to be able to get home with four. Cowboys still couldn't do it much last year.
They weren't
great last year at it. They were terrible at stopping the run last year. Historically bad to start the season for that. And what he says by scheme up, you do things where you got the corner blitz, you got a linebacker blitz, you got a couple of different blitzes, and you use those occasionally. You don't do it the entire game. The Dan Quinn defense. That was all four of these guys on the defensive line. Maybe three of these other guys are going to – everybody's coming. You know, it was just constant pressure flying at them. But the Cowboys have to figure out – I don't know if those guys can get home with four. So they are going to have to scheme up blitz packages that put the pressure on. And having a guy like Micah allows you to do something special like that whenever you know that dude's on the field and they got to pay attention to him. But they got to figure out, A, how to get home with the front line, and then who's going to be that other character that can go get it. Because I think James Houston's a guy that can.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Contribute to this thing.
So sure. I really asked, and we'll have to investigate for this more, the drop of me saying that we don't need Micah Parsons now that we have James Houston as a sarcastic thing that I now feel like will come back to haunt me. You know what's really interesting? First of all, your answer is really interesting. But taking a step back, lots of people have lots of thoughts about the generational issue. From the 585, 52 and a half sacks in 4 years when the career record is 200 is a generational start to a career. And I'm not here to dispute that. But
Aaron Donald is generational.
That for sure. And sometimes people say that when you're like, well, let's just wait until their career is over, and then you can get a better gauge.
Aaron Donald was, like, when he got in there, you saw he was a wrecking ball, and then he did everything he needed along the way to accomplish how many defensive player of the years. He won the Super Bowl. He was a key contributor to the winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's definitely the name that I would drop in there.
And then I see numerous people that say he is not, because Micah doesn't impact the game when it counts, and he won't be generational. From the 4-6-9, one sack in four playoff games, no the hell, he is not generational. So this kind of shows the divide.
Eight tackles and one sack, I believe.
Yeah, the tackles don't bother me as much. I need to go seek back out the pressures number. I had it.
You had three pass deflections.
Okay, that actually is good.
Yeah,
so. But the pressures fell out of my brain at some point along the way, so I'll look that back up. But even the fan base is divided about this part. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. And believe it or not, some of my questions are actually about other things in the NFL besides Micah. Let's see if we get to any of those. We'll see. Next, right here on The Fan.
Who needs Micah? We have James Houston.
Mahomes under pressure. Parsons knocked it out. And the Cowboys have it. How about the rookie Micah Parsons? What a play.
KNC Masterpiece right here on the 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. We've been having a blast all day. Tolos have been sitting with other Tolos, and they've been making new friends and everything like that. It has been outstanding. And also, we've got a plethora of friendly folks dropping stuff off for us today as we get ready for some NFL overreaction or reality. We got some donut hole cronuts. We got
donut hole cronuts are awesome.
And this is really cool. We got some Bigfoot Sasquatch keychains from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one of our Tolos, the original napkin shout out.
Yep.
Went to Colorado with his grandmother. I saw the photos they had of
them. Yeah, that was awesome.
13,000 feet up in the air. It was amazing. They brought us Sasquatch keychains. We even have one for Alec Medford. And then
our friend brought me some Carruthers Candy Company.
Yes.
The freeze-dried Skittles. These are freeze-dried fruit roll-ups.
So
good luck to my stomach.
He asked what we wanted, and I was like, Skittles. Bring Skittles, because that's what my family loves. And then to make Corey's weekend complete, sports cards in a box from Frisco.
Dude.
They're at the Star. They heard your love for the potential of pulling the Oral
Hershiser. Yeah.
One of one. They brought you a Topps Chrome box. Woo! Holy moly!
I'm going to try this freeze-dried fruit roll-up real quick, Kevin. You made a fruit roll-up sandwich once for your son.
Yeah. Yeah. Now look. He can eat bread. He can eat fruit roll-ups. Just take two fruit roll-ups, put them in between two pieces of bread. He thought it was amazing. And he's turned out fine. he made it to college and stuff. So you know what?
That is cuisine at its finest.
Yeah, I think it should be fine. He survived fine. You know what? I need to ask him if he particularly remembers that. And then also, as we attempt to get at least a few shout outs in on a shout out Friday, Landry, first game coaching at Little Elm tonight, and that is from Logan. And then he put the quote, "Get back, coach." So shout out right there on a shout out Friday. Right now, we're going to do a little NFL overreaction or reality. And Jacob, if you want to get involved in this as well, that would be great. Now, my first question for you guys. NFL overreaction or reality, the Cowboys won't actually use any of the draft assets they picked up for another in-season trade. I count this as an in-season trade, even though I know the season didn't technically
start. So you're talking about when Jerry Jones last night goes, hey,
you never know.
That's not saying that we won't use those this year.
And then even Steven tried to keep that going. He's like, yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
I know.
I think that's an overreaction. I don't know exactly what they're hunting right now. Okay? Like, are they hunting something that they think can put them over the top right now, or do they think that they need more players to fill out this roster and have a higher level of talent across the board? And I think that's the reality, is they feel like they need the higher level of talent across the board. I think, you know, banking on DeMarvion Overshown being healthy for the rest of his career after this, yeah, would be risky. But I think they do look at him and go, hey, man, we got an excellent player here. Let's build around him. Let's build around some of these other things too. So I think they can do that. But in my opinion, Kevin, I'm not using those picks to get another player this year. But they're trying to prove a lot of people that this year matters too.
Yeah.
That they didn't just give up on this season by trading Micah.
Jacob, NFL overreaction or reality, the Cowboys won't actually use any of the draft assets they got to make another trade.
Yeah, I'm going to go reality here just because I don't think that this team's going to be in any position towards the trade deadline where they're going to be looking to add players. I think by that point in the season, you're kind of going to be dead in the water, especially in the NFC East with how competitive that division is. And to be honest, I saw a tweet about them saving those picks to trade up for Arch, and I love the sound of that. So I'm going to drink that Kool-Aid and say they save those for later.
Just keep an eye out on the South Carolina quarterback as well if you're scouting quarterbacks along the way. Now, Jacob kind of just answered my next question, so I'll pose the overreaction reality. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You said keep an eye on this South Carolina quarterback.
Yep.
Isn't that also something that Jerry loves the potential of? Listen, dude, hopium is something the Cowboys have been able to sell for years. The fact that they have these draft picks, there's no greater fix than you can acquire than picks for us. Oh my gosh, you got picks? The potential of that, just inject it into my veins, please.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you just brought up, that's a talking point now. Jerry knows that. Hey, they're going to be, you know what, if we have the number one overall pick and we have the chance to get a quarterback, they're going to talk about the Cowboys every single day during the offseason and whether or not they're going to trade up to go get that quarterback. And you know what? If we do make the trade, they're going to talk about us every single day about which one of the quarterbacks we should choose. And so that's another benefit that I think Jerry sees in this trade as you get more picks, the opportunity to get that in your life as well.
Now, by the way.
And he'd look at that as a win, wouldn't he?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. From the 601, I want to give Jerry a shout out for being inspired by rewatching The Gambler and getting his balls back. Maybe he meant football.
He
could.
I wonder that. I really do. Because whenever I watched it, Kevin, I kind of got ramped up a little bit. And I brought up multiple times, I was like, it's frustrating watching the sacrifices, the standards that those guys set, and then how lazy it's kind of gotten since then. But whenever I wonder if he watched it and he was looking and thinking to himself, you know what, I do need to be that Maverick again, and then maybe buy the Mavericks would be something he might do too.
Yeah, we need more. We need more sports news right now. All right, so overreaction to reality, Corey. The Micah trade torpedoed the season. I know you said what Okay.
Overreaction. I think we all had a realistic expectation for what this season was going to be anyway. I think that if Micah was not under a new giant contract, which how much would that affect them financially in the future?
Hugely.
And we don't think about I don't think anybody's really considering how much of an effect now it's having on the Packers. But it is well there. So I don't think that I was looking at this season as a real rebuild, but I also wasn't looking at it as a, well, they're going to go win the championship. You would have to have a lot. We talked about it, a lot of ifs, a lot of things fall your way for that to happen. And as oblong as that football is that Jerry always talks about, it doesn't always bounce your way. So I don't think this torpedoed this season, but I do think it set them back a little more. But the future is kind of where they can go with this.
And, you know, we continue to have this discussion. I'm going to go back to people who don't value the first-round picks. I'll just go off of the more kind of updated Rich Hill draft capital idea. Based off of that, you would theoretically, not saying by any sense of the imagination this would happen, you should theoretically be able to package the 2026 Dallas pick, the 2026 Green Bay pick, and then maybe the 2027 Dallas pick, or one of those other 2027 picks for the first pick in the draft.
Okay.
Now, that'll depend on if people are really pumped about this player, that player, if Arch actually came out, which I don't think he would. Maybe you look ahead to 2027 to do the same thing. But theoretically, the trade value chart says that that would work.
Okay. You let's say you land in like the third spot.
And then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, so that's that changes things too.
But yeah.
I do appreciate the people though, Kevin, because I think, you know, the value, if they would have said, hey, we're going to give you two firsts this year, another first in the, you know, oh yeah, a third, absolutely, I'm taking more of that stuff. But I do like the value that they got. I just also like the people that are texting and saying he talked to Nico Harrison before he made this trade. I think it's funny.
And I
think it's hilarious.
I don't understand that comparison. I hear what you're saying. I don't understand that comparison just because the Mavericks were right there. They were in the finals. They almost won a championship. Cowboys haven't been anywhere close to sniffing a championship. If you hate the way that the Cowboys and Jerry Jones do business, this should be a great day for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, all right, you know what? I'm going to do something different than what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that people would be excited about
it. I understand what you mean now about that. The Cowboys aren't that close.
No.
Nico and the Mavericks were that close and decided to turn complete left on what they were doing.
Yes. No, well, let me go and throw this out there. Since people keep saying this, overreaction or reality, the two first-round picks the Cowboys will get will both be number 25 or worse. Now, to get number 25 or worse, you have to make it to the divisional round, so the second round of the playoffs.
Okay.
So overreaction or reality, the two first-round picks the Cowboys get from the Packers will both be 25 or worse.
So in the next 2 years, they're going to be right there in the mix of going to the NFC Championship game. That's a tough division they're in.
Yeah.
You know, they got Minnesota, who's frequently a fraud. They have Detroit, has a big question mark over if they can keep that up. But they also have Chicago, who's on the rise. So I think the division's already tough. They are a good team. I think that's overreaction. I think over the next 2 years, that's going to be a tough division to win. Now, can they make it into the wild card? Again, the division being as tough as it is, that's going to be slim margins. Maybe that division's good enough that three teams can get in. But
that's possible.
But it'll be slim margins for them to get in frequently in both of those years and have you sitting that low, in my opinion.
All right, Jacob, what say you? NFL overreaction or reality? The first two first-round picks that the Cowboys get in this deal will both be number 25 or worse.
I'm going to go overreaction. I think there's a chance that one of them could be. I just don't see Jordan Love taking this team to the conference finals twice. I mean, I could see it happening once if they stay healthy, but this team's had injury issues since, I mean, as far back as Jordan Love started playing for them. So I could see them definitely making a run if the stars align, but two of those, I don't see it.
Now, this is a quick, selfish overreaction or reality question. Overreaction or reality, you can tell which stories Mike Florio wrote on Pro Football Talk just by reading the headline. Because my answer is 100%. I can tell every time just about. Probably not 100, 98% of
you,
the time.
Can you give me an example?
Yes.
Because I think this is a reality.
Absolutely.
Because I also know we were headline writers. This was something that we it was our voice that we were actually using whenever we were writing headlines.
The top two stories on Pro Football Talk. I knew for a fact Jerry Jones' handling of Micah Parsons, David Mulugeta, could haunt the Cowboys. I was like, I guarantee you that's a Florio story. It is. And then as appeal deadline looms, Browns are discussing stadium, blah, blah, blah. That's a Mike Florio as well. If it's something about, you know what people still haven't thought about, Mike Florio wrote that.
Looms also is a word that, like, anything that could be ominous. Regarding the team. Yeah, that's usually going to be
Mike Florio knows where his bread is buttered. If it's a transactional story about news that actually happened in the NFL.
That's Shireen Williams.
Yeah, it is. It's somebody else who wrote that. All right. NFL overreaction or reality, whether it's the draft capital, the money, whatever, the Packers will regret making this deal.
Oh, somebody just texted this and they got a really good point.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jordan Love got hurt in week one in Brazil last year. He's not exactly durable. If Jordan Love is not on IR in week five, that's on the Hot Boys. So, like, that's the idea is that Jordan Love is a key component for the success of the Green Bay Packers.
So I want him to have terrible seasons.
If he's injured, is Micah enough to overcome that injury? I don't think so.
That's tough to argue for most teams, right?
Yeah, no,
I don't think Green Bay is any different.
That being said, if everything goes well for them, they have a really good – that could be the Charles Haley moment where they added the piece that they were looking for, and all these young players are ready to take things over the top. They just needed that one extra thing. That could be it. But I think more likely than not they'll look back and say, I don't think they'll regret it. I think two first-round picks, they're looking at it thinking they got a good deal.
Well, look, and by the way, just a random...
And Mike is a good enough player that you're going to get that value out of him.
Well, here's a random note that I know has kept some Cowboys fans up in the last 24 hours or so. Do you know the last player that the Packers traded away a first-round pick for was?
Reggie White.
Brett Favre.
Reggie
White was a free agent signing.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Brett Favre. So, like, that part is kind of scary.
Calvin Watkins has posted a picture of Kenny Clark talking with DeMarvion Overshown. That's already a beautiful sight right there.
Man, I want DeMarvion Overshown to stay healthy so bad.
John Machota's also posted this picture as well. I'm feeling like all the other beat writers will post that picture soon. I want to throw that in there. And then also, did we talk about the Kamon Hall thing?
No.
Childress is on the practice squad. The corresponding move was releasing Kamon Hall, and that move happened yesterday. So, Kevin, as we were discussing, there was some news that kind of went under the radar.
And there's still, it feels like, something possible with Flannoy being waived. All right, Jacob, your thoughts on this NFL overreaction or reality? The Packers will regret making this deal.
You know, as a kid who grew up a Bears fan, my fandom started when we made an eerily similar trade for Khalil Mack, and I had to watch the team basically capsize on itself after that double doink. So I do think the Bears are cursed, and I don't think the Packers will have that same luck. But I think when we look back at this and say, I don't know, 8 years, I do think we're going to say the Cowboys won this trade, and I don't think the Packers are going to get as far as they think they're going to get with this trade.
All right. Now, I promised you other non-Micah content. I do not want to be made a liar. NFL overreaction or reality? I am really fascinated by this because I have seen more and more people kind of circle the wagons around the 49ers.
Okay.
So NFL overreaction or reality? The 49ers are actually a top four contender in the NFC.
So I think that's overreaction.
Okay.
But top four, like, there are a lot of names I think you can throw in the top four.
So in my head, Philly, Washington, Detroit.
Okay.
Although I understand now if people want to say Green Bay, if you're thinking J.J. McCarthy's going to be back. Like, I get all that.
I could see the Rams being a contender in this thing, too.
Okay.
They have a good offense. They're always pretty stout on defense as well because McVay believes in that. So I think there are a lot of options to go there. I don't think it's a lock for them to be in that top four. The other thing, too, with all the injuries they've gone through, like at very key positions for their offense, trading away Debo, you're going to rely heavily on Kittle this year. Like, Kittle's going to be a huge part of what they have to do. So I don't think it's a lock. I think that's an overreaction. But I don't think they're an easy team to play. I think they're one of those teams that defensively you still are going to walk away from and going,
okay,
holy crap, that was a tough game.
All right, Jacob, NFL overreaction reality. The 49ers are actually a top four team in the NFC.
I'm going to agree with Corey. I'm going to go overreaction. As exciting as it is with the exciting Whites and Pearsall and McCaffrey and Purdy and Kittle, I just don't think that – I think health is such a big issue for this team. But, I mean, Corey made a great point. They're so well coached with Kyle Shanahan that they're going to be a team that can come out and win any given week. I just don't see them finishing – I don't see them winning their division. I've got the Rams winning that division, so I'm going to say that that's an overreaction.
So the voters on NFL.com, 15 voted for the Rams to win the division and 10 voted for the 49ers. Now, Corey, if we have a Bears fan,
mm-hmm.
I need to ask a Bears overreaction reality question. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess one of the things that I still want to know is, did they do enough personnel-wise to make their team better? Because I've been saying that all offseason. I think Ben Johnson's good, but did they do enough personnel-wise to protect Caleb Williams on that side of the ball?
Okay, well, we're going to find out. Jacob, you get to start with this. NFL overreaction or reality, Caleb Williams will throw for 4,000-plus yards this season to break the Bears' record.
I got to really put my bias aside here and my money, because I did place a lot of money on him to break that record. I'm going to say yes. I think they made plenty of moves on the offensive line, and I think a lot of people are overlooking Luther Burden and Colson Loveland as additions. I can't necessarily tell you how the defense is going to be, because I think a lot of people thought that the D-line was going to be a lot improved, and then Montez Sweat went out there and looked like he forgot how to rush the passer.
True.
So I'm going to say
that's good news for this play, because that means the Bears will always be trailing.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams will throw the ball.
There you go. I'm going to go reality, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Corey,
makes me
are you
going to
break the kid's heart?
No, I'm going reality, too. I invested a lot in DJ Moore in my fantasy draft this year, and DJ Pridemore as well. I think they have an effective running game. DeAndre Swift started off clunky last year and then turned things up. So I'm interested to see how that thing grows. But I think he's got a good point about Keenan Allen came in here and just wasn't quite the fit you wanted him to be.
Sure.
Luther Burden is getting his butt kicked every day by Ben Johnson, trying to find out if he's good enough to be in the NFL. But he's testing him, and that's a good thing as well. And then Romo Dunze, I think, is lined up for a breakout season if all things go well. I think Ben Johnson knows how to use him.
Now, a few things for you guys. You can fire up the Gridiron music if you want. I know we're kind of staying in the same vein, but I wanted to run through this with you. NFL.com had their divisional winners. Unanimous pick in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills. Almost unanimous in the AFC North. 26 votes for the Ravens, 3 votes for the Bengals. AFC South, 23 votes for the Texans, 5 for the Jags, 1 for the Titans. And then the AFC West, 20 votes for the Chiefs, 8 votes for the Broncos, and 1 vote for the Chargers. So,
what?
Pretty.
Oh, well, I guess they were in the playoffs, right?
Pretty chalk right there in the AFC. Now, over to the NFC. God, I love this. 28 votes for the Philadelphia Eagles. 1 vote
for the Washington
via Michael
Commanders.
F. Florio for the Washington Commanders. In the
How many votes for the Cowboys?
None.
Why not?
I think
of the Micah trade.
I don't think so. I think they would have got none even without. Don't you? Like, let's go back a day.
Oh no, Troy Aikman said with Micah that this is a contender, and now they're not.
Well, I know. So I'm asking Corey Majors.
Oh, okay.
They don't trade Micah. They still get zero votes, right?
I say whatever Troy Aikman says.
Okay.
No, I probably still know. Yes.
NFC North, 14 for the Packers, 13 for the Lions, as you would guess, easily the closest of the bunch, with one for the Bears. No. That was probably Jacob, and one for the Vikings.
Hey-o.
It just seems – I'm sorry, Jacob, to step on you here. It seems like the Packers, like, their standard is just their standard. Like, I know, like, and their fans expect a certain thing, and they try to deliver to that standard all the time. Because they're always considered at the top of their division, for one, and right in the mix for being at the top of the NFC. So it's, I always talk about that with the Cowboys, how they lost that standard.
Yeah.
This is the bar, and we don't ever fall below the bar.
Right.
And if we do, we make changes to make sure we never get here again. And I got a lot of respect for that. I'm not a Packers fan.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying I got respect for what they do.
And by the way, in the NFC, 22 votes for the Bucs, 6 for the Falcons, 1 for the Carolina Panthers, which obviously that is amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You love the Panthers.
What I know you really want to know, Corey, is how many people said that the Cowboys were going to be in the playoffs? From NFL.com.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about people in general.
No, and
I
was like, that's harder to gauge.
It's going to be different.
You could walk around Uncle Julio's and maybe get a count going.
Yeah.
One. Greg Rosenthal said they will be in the playoffs as the 7th seed.
Man.
And the other 28 said no.
Okay. That is good for him, you know, for putting himself out there. And and really, you know, trying to go against the grain on this one. Because, again, I know we see all the warts, and so we have probably more drastic feelings about things. But it was just very difficult for me to see them slipping into that spot anyway. So,
if I can give you an update on the NFL Top 100 next week, obviously leading into opening kickoff, Cowboys-Eagles right here on 105.3 The Fan, they'll have the top 10. But to get you up to that, Fred Warner – at 16, Jared Goff at 15, Trey Hendrickson takes a massive leap, and he's up to number 14.
Because he got his contract.
I think that was probably because of the play.
Oh,
right?
No. We're not going to have somebody high up because Micah.
Micah's already on the list.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't that good.
Oh, man.
Hendrickson's better, they say.
Penei Sewell is 13.
He's phenomenal.
Chris Jones is 10, and T.J. Watt at number 11. So we'll get into the top 10 next week. But if you've been listening to the list, you can, along the way, you can probably figure it out, and we'll get the specifics behind that. But you know what? You did just bring up something. I am fascinated by this, not only now, but in the future. Maybe you make an argument that Trey Hendrickson is as good as Micah Parsons. Maybe you make an argument that Max Crosby is as good as Micah Parsons. Nobody in the universe talks about them anywhere near as much because they play for Cincinnati and Vegas, as opposed to the Cowboys.
Don't you feel, though, that T.J. Watt gets a lot of talk? For two reasons. One, his brother.
I could see that.
And two, CBS relies very heavily on Pittsburgh.
See,
Pittsburgh and the Chiefs.
But even then, Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, one defensive player of the year. Don't you think they don't get talked about anywhere near as much as Micah?
But who never won one?
I know.
And so that's what you're saying is,
because Micah was on the Cowboys.
Yes, that's what happens is whenever you're a Cowboy, no matter what. I mean, just look at it. You don't even have to be a successful quarterback to be a broadcaster after your career.
And that can be, although some were. Although, I don't know if Micah cares about this at all, but that's what I continue to think about his future, like, broadcast dealings and everything like that, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of pressure to win a Super Bowl here. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and he is, in fact, in the building at Uncle Julio's, 2401 Preston Road in Frisco. Coming up next, we will do the C Block, starring Corey Majors and Kyle Yeomans. Next, right here on The Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.